Welcome to Finance Made Easy with Karn and Evie, where we demystify and educate on all different aspects of money. Our goal is to make understanding money easy for you. I'm here with my co-host, Karn.
Hi.
And I'm Evie. Today we are going to be talking about in the financial life of a military family. And we are joined with our team member here, Stacey Michaels. Say hi, Stace.
Hello.
And Stace, now this is right up your alley here. Do you want to kind of talk a little bit about your background here?
So I am a military spouse, and I have been married for almost 25 years, and my husband's been in the military the whole time. He's a Navy veteran, so he was active duty and reserve time. So we've got the balance of both, and we've raised two children. We've lived probably in, I don't know, five or six different places, and we're well adjusted. Thank you.
You've lived in some fun places.
You have.
We have lived in fun places. The Navy's been good for us. We had a really nice time. Lived in Dubai. We've lived in San Diego a few times, Hawaii a few times, Minneapolis. And Bob did his drill, reserve time, drill time in Yokosuka, Japan, and in Duluth. So we've
very
got
very different places.
Yes, we have seen some things. So it's all been, it was all good, all really, really good. And still is good. There's a lot of benefits when you retire too. So
wonderful.
Very happy with that.
Well, mm-hmm. We're excited to talk about this with you today and get all of your wonderful knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you.
When you're a military family, you face the same financial issues just like everybody else, but there are things that are more unique to you, and that's really what we wanted to cover today. And as I was researching this, we found out that their military really likes to use a lot of acronyms.
There are lots of acronyms.
Demystifying.
Yes. So, so hopefully we'll be able to explain some of those to you today.
For sure.
So what are some of the steps when you're in a military family for like when you're thinking about your financial situation that you should think about, Stace?
So when we were reviewing this for the podcast, I was thinking about as a young military person, you know, first being involved and getting married, and it's just the open communication. I had no idea what an LES was, which is a leave of earning statement.
Here we go.
The here's the acronyms. Yeah. And the other important document is your DD-214, which is Department of Defense Form 214. And that form is so important. And even when you retire, it is so important to always have a copy of that. So that form shows your military spouse, male or female, what their rank is. It's always being updated, what their rank is, who their beneficiaries are, where your duty station is. So you have to carry that with you or have a copy of that wherever you go. And also talking about your orders, where your orders are your next assignment. So where you're going to report to and when you have to be there. Those three items, so the leave and earning statement, the DD-214, and your orders are probably the three most important things to talk about. And I think going in, those are all acronyms that if you're a civilian, you don't know, and you don't know the process. So I think sitting down together and just walking through those simple forms and keeping a copy of those, if you can, in a folder are just so important. And then realizing, too, that unless you're both military spouses, I mean, one of your careers is going to take a back step because you're supporting the other one and you're moving. And depending on what your profession is, it can be a challenge going forward.
Well, and we should mention this because I think it's important because Stacy's been as a financial advisor for how many years now?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Too long.
No.
Since
20
when is it?
Plus?
20. Almost 30. Yeah.
I mean, right out of college.
Right out of college, I started.
Mm-hmm. And we've been, you know, working together as partners for and teammates, all of us, for a very long time. But even when you were in San Diego and Hawaii, you were still doing this job.
I was.
But it's really, it's interesting when you're part of a military family because it is true you have to follow and then figure out your own life at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And you're a bit of a human resource conundrum, too, for the employer that you're working for. I was fortunate enough, the first time we lived in Dubai, I was able to do a job transfer to Merrill Lynch International. And that was took some time, but it worked. And then coming back, that worked, too, to be at Merrill Lynch again. And then we went to UBS, and I was fortunate enough that UBS was really more pro-military, at least in my role. And of course, working with Karen really helped because I was able to keep my job but work remotely. And UBS was really supportive of that, as was Karen. So I was very fortunate to keep all my licenses and everything.
That's great. Well, and also when you're moving around so much, if you have children, they're changing schools. There's a lot of change happening in that family, and that can be really scary, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so every time you move, you have to think, who's going to be the pediatrician? Where am I going to get my hair cut? Where's my dentist? Oh my gosh, I need an orthodontist when I move again. What school we're going to be in? And there are guidelines. Fortunately, there's so much information out there now with the internet and really good support systems, I think, even more on the basis now for families when they're moving. And then the other thing about the military is everyone's in the same role. You have no family. All of a sudden, you're thrown into Hawaii and you don't know anybody, or you're thrown into San Diego, you don't know anybody. But the people that are within your spouse's department, be it a squadron or battalion, or my husband is more a executive, so those people are so willing to help because they've all been there. And hopefully you'll meet one or two people that have already been there for a year or two, and they can kind of guide you through that. And there's a lot of Facebook pages for different spouse groups that speak about those items. So it's all really good.
Well, I'm just kind of thinking on the financial side, even just having a bank or checking accounts with a company who is more global. You know, where you can do direct deposits. Now, a lot of things are remote compared to where when you used to. But
right.
And I'm thinking with military family, you're like everybody else, where you have to kind of come up with a budget and doing that kind of, you know, cost of living analysis and those kind of things, what location you're in, because everything costs differently in different states. And I know Hawaii was expensive.
So expensive.
Yeah, it was very expensive. Yeah, so the budget piece is really important. I think that gets back to looking at that leave-in earnings statement too. You know, what is your spouse getting paid? I think it's really important to have a joint account as well, and maybe a single name account, because also you're able to go to the legal office or the JAG on a base.
JAG,
Judiciary, Adjutant General. So the legal area, I think that's what it stands for. And they'll do power of attorneys for you and will documents. They won't do a trust, or they'll have a very bare bones trust, but they'll be able to do a power of attorney, and you have to get one of those because chances are your spouse is going to be out of town and you need to sign something or need their signature for something, or you're moving and you need to sign off on a car or something like that, or sign a transit moving document and your spouse isn't there.
Oh boy, just knowing like passwords. And,
oh yeah.
I remember when I couldn't get into a voicemail with AT&T because my spouse signed up for the password and I wasn't allowed to get it. So there's so many things that you have to think about.
Right, exactly. Yep, sharing the password, shouldn't say that, but you can do that.
One place where they're all just written down, or where you know where you can get them all.
Right, exactly. Or have an app on your phone that shares the passwords. Right, exactly. We were talking about budgeting a little bit because you don't know from assignment to assignment if you're going to be there maybe 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or maybe it's a big enough military facility that you can stay longer. There's pros and cons to staying in one place longer, but that's an option. So I think having a little savings or rainy day fund is important, because when you're doing the moves, you're reimbursed for expenses, but you're not reimbursed the day that you incur them. So having a rainy day fund for travel or meals that you have to eat out or gas money or however long it's going to take you to move from location to location is so important until you get your reimbursements back.
Well, Stace, you had even mentioned that your car, it took a couple weeks or a month for your car to be delivered when you moved to a new location, and you had to rent a car for a period of time. I'd imagine that's something you have to pay up front for.
Yes, exactly. So you can usually ship one car wherever you move, and then it's the point of, do you want to pay shipping on another car or drive your car cross country, or depending on where you're going to be assigned. And a lot of those expenses, some of them are reimbursed, and some of them military families are allowed to claim those on their taxes. There's a form, I believe it's 3903, and it's publication 521 IRS. So get to know that, those forms, because there's unreimbursable moving expenses that you can apply to your taxes, which is great. And the other thing, too, with the tax comment, I was just thinking here, is a lot of the larger bases have tax service help available to you. So come April 15th, when you need to file taxes, there are some free services on a lot of military bases that will help walk you through those and help you file your documents electronically. And there again, you might need a power of attorney form because your spouse may or may not be with you while you're doing all those or filing your taxes. So,
well, and the other thing about a military family is, and the thing that I've learned a lot through just Stacy and Bob is all the benefits of being a military family.
So as far as benefits, I think, you know, there's positives, there's beauty everywhere you live. Don't forget that. Even when you're in the desert, it's still beautiful, and you're there a short time, so you can make through. Yeah, as far as the benefits with the healthcare is tremendous. The dental is really great. And also when you are looking at the leave and earnings statement, which is your spouse's pay record, you'll see allowances on there for BAH, which is another acronym for basic housing allowance. And so that's a supplement pay that you get for where you live. So if you're living in a very expensive area like San Diego or Hawaii, you're given a stipend based on your rank and if you have children or dependents to help supplement the cost of living there. So be it for renting a house, for groceries, utilities, all those things are so adjustable. So that, and those are published every year and the 2020 ones are out. I've already checked on those. And so that's an important piece to look at too, as well as they give you like a little bit of a uniform allowance. Combat pay is another one. If you're in a designated combat zone, some of that income is going to be tax-free in the time that your spouse is in that work environment. Also, with being retired, there's several states that don't tax military pensions. Minnesota's new to that bucket. I want to say it's only been 2 or 3 years that they've approved that. But there's several states that don't have a state income tax on the military pension, which is great. And then if you retire active duty, you do have the option to buy into the TRICARE insurance program, the dental program as well. So that's a really nice thing to have in your back pocket as you're comparing plans when you start that second career going forward.
Well, in talking about housing and that kind of thing, if you decide to buy a house where you're living,
right,
you have some benefits
there.
Right.
There's also a VA loan, so Veterans Administration loan benefit that you could be entitled to. And I believe you can only have one VA loan at a time. But depending on the environment that you're in or the location, you could buy a house without a down payment. So if you've got the credit, the right credit score and a little skin in the game, you're able to probably buy a house without a down payment, whereas other people aren't able to do that successfully. The other programs, too, is on a lot of the bases, they have this, well, in the Navy, they call it $1 million sailor program. And all the services have it. I think the Air Force's $1 million airman program. But it's a financial education program that they really, really highly encourage young enlisted, young officers, or even anyone and your spouse to go in and just walk through. And they'll help you budget. They'll help you kind of figure out maybe a little savings pocket. So you feel like you've got someone helping you along the way. And chances are, they say, if you save enough, you could have $1 million when you retire. So if you have a 20 or 30 year career, you should be well set for that.
And so, Stacy, those all sound like fabulous benefits. What about some benefits when you have children?
The kids have done pretty well moving around. Their formative years were spent moving around. With the military, the nice thing about it is a lot of things are on the base that are accessible to you, like daycare and some of the social welfare programs are available to you at your pay grade. So they have a scale average, you might say, of what your rank is and what you pay. So like for daycare on the base, if you can get in, it's based on what your spouse is making. So it makes it more affordable for the younger families that are just starting out and people that are officers too that have children. And that was really good to have. It's a safe environment and we were happy with the daycare. The other piece I think is good too is the Department of Defense does have relatively good schools. So if you're living on the base, there's usually an elementary school for sure. that most children will have access to on the base.
On the base, okay.
Depending on the size of the base. The other nice piece of information, too, is the whole college, you know, financing options that are available. The military can be such a great choice for people just entering to help pay for their college or even some kind of tuition aid. And there are some families out there, too, where maybe the spouse already had their undergraduate degree, so they didn't use any GI Bill money. And with that, you're able to pass along now GI Bill benefits that are unused to your spouse or your children, which is really nice. So depending
That's
on
a nice benefit.
That's it's so huge, nice. Huge benefits. So depending on your length of service in the military, like I said, you're able to pass it on and divide it up on a percentage basis. So, and it's my understanding too, if let's say your spouse has available GI Bill money and you don't have a college degree yet or an associate's degree, they can even pass that on to their spouse to use to get their education. So there's a lot of pros and they're really trying hard to make it available in a lot of fashions. Plus there's a lot of scholarship money out there for kids too, with all the different service groups, the not just the Legion and the VFWs of the world, but each service group kind of has some niche-y things that are available to for students to apply for, so college students to apply for. Did my daughter hear that? Apply.
Take advantage of those resources.
Yes, let's have that conversation when I get home again tonight. Yeah, and then Karen was talking about, too, life insurance benefits, and that's available, too, within the military. I believe it's the SGLI, so the Service Group Life Insurance, which is available for purchase, too, for obviously the military person, their spouse, and their kids. So it can be pretty affordable life insurance to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There really can be. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some retirement. You mentioned it a little bit before, but let's talk a little bit about like tax savings for retirement and how you can save for retirement and how that actually works and the pension.
Right. So the military right now works like a lot of other government employees. They have the thrift savings plan, which is real similar to the 401k. So you can put a portion of your paycheck away in that program. And usually there's, we were just discussing how there's investment choices. It's a little odd. It's like government services fund A through F or G or H, and then each one is allocated a little differently. So that's in addition to the pension that you're accruing. I think a lot of people forget that you're not necessarily having to put your own money in to accrue the pension that you could have in 20 years, but they did allow you the option to do this thrift savings plan. So it's additional savings. So if you can really help put some in, it's terrific. It's a really good program because that would be, once again, pre-taxed money coming into your savings, and then, of course, you're taxed on it when you're taking out. But you can roll that thrift savings plan into your IRA account when you retire, or if you start a second career, you can roll that into the new company's plan, too.
Their 401k plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing to try and do. And then, too, there are some special things out there for the military, and as far as if you're in a combat zone or if you can't get your taxes filed on time, there's some loan forgiveness or some forgiveness options out there, like on credit card debt or mortgage payment too, depending on where your job assignment is, to give you some flexibility in how you can operate day to day in a good environment. I think the biggest thing when you retire is taking your DD-214 with you, because there's a lot of veterans options out there with the TRICARE program. Of course, you need that. Or if you need to get medical care at a VA facility nearby, you'll need your DDT-214. Or if I need to do something, it says on the DDT-214 that I'm the spouse and we have kids, and that's all on there too. And we found out recently too, you can get a discount on your car tabs if you have your DD-214.
What?
See, there's
that
lots
was new
of benefits.
This week.
Are you still eligible for Social Security, Stace?
We are. Yes, that was, I believe, a new thing. Some rules were changed. There was some double dipping going on with military pensions and Social Security, and that loophole was cut. But so if you're active duty assigned and you retire on active duty, you get your military pension right away. It starts very early on after you retire. Whereas if you're in the reserves, some of the reserve people, they start their military pensions at age 60. And there's a formula there too, where if you're a reservist and you have been on active duty for a year on different assignments or more, they will kind of cut back your assigned pension date. So you could possibly start collecting your pension at earlier than age 60, maybe 59 and a half, maybe 59, maybe 58, depending on how much active duty time you were assigned to. So we have a few clients that are reservists, and they're awesome. And so they, too, I think will start their reserve pension earlier than age 60 based on their assignments in history. So it's been good. There's a lot of positives in the military.
Lots to think about.
Anything else you can think of that's different from in the financial life of a military family?
I always tell my kids, you know, there's more good people in the world because of being in the military. You float around and you meet new people, and that's really great. And you learn to be adaptable, and you don't need everything all at one time. It'll come. I think it's true. I mean, even with your career, it's, you know, a little bit, you have to just work every day, just like, you know, building up your savings account or retirement account. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Every $100 that you can put away a month is a good thing. So, yeah, we've been very blessed. And my husband, I think, would say the same thing. He's met a lot of good people and a lot of good experiences. So
that's
a good thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Well, I've learned a lot today.
This is really fun.
Thank you, Stace.
Yeah, thanks for sharing all your good.
In the financial life of a military family, we hope you learned a lot, too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.